Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning on this bright and sunny Lord's Day. Appreciate your faithfulness to our adult Bible class. And we're looking forward to continuing our series with Christ in the School of Faith. And that's our exciting study for this year. And of course, our theme this year is the just shall live by faith. And we're excited about what we've learnt and what we're going to be encouraged with. So I hope you have a handout this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. Lord, as your people, help us to rejoice in it, Lord, because of the truth of meeting on this day, the reality of our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead, and we worship thee, O Lord. And we pray that you would receive glory and honour through this morning, through our worship, through the thoughts and intents of our heart. Lord, we ask as adults and young adults, Lord, this morning that you would help us to grow in faith. Help us, Lord, to run the race that is set before us. Help us, Lord, to look to you and to be encouraged by your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that as we run the race that you've given us, that we would be an encouragement, an example to our young people, our children, teenagers. And Lord, we pray that you would bless them this morning. And as they hear the word of God, as they learn about our wonderful Saviour, Lord, may they be brought to faith in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we do ask. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's begin with that verse. And we're just going to keep moving right along because this morning is a special morning. We have a special morning tea coming up. So why don't we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Appreciate you being here. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, in this study, we are encouraged that just like when you and I were at school, God has put us as Christians in a new school, and it's called the School of Faith. You might be wondering, hang on a second, when did I get back in school? That's the last thing I wanted to do as an adult. Well, let me encourage you, the day you were born again, the day you were saved, God put you into His school of faith. And it is a school, it is a lesson, a series of lessons that you and I won't graduate from until we breathe our last breath. Amen. The Lord keeps teaching us and we'll be in His classes of faith until the last day of our life. And that's the reality for us as Christians. And God wants to help us this term. He wants to encourage us to press on and to, like these examples of faith in Hebrews 11, of course, here on my left, the Lord wants us also to graduate with a good report. And that's what we've been encouraged about this term. Now, last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, just the first half of the verse, where God tells us we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And we understood the picture that God gives us. It's like we're in a stadium, we're running a race, and all around us are those who have finished their races, those who have gone before us in the faith. Like Noah of old and Moses, they're cheering us on from the grandstands. They're ones we can look at their lives and realize, look, they weren't perfect, they weren't sinless, they fell at times, but if they graduated with a good report, guess what? That means so can we. And that's an encouragement to know that they've run their race, and now they've passed the baton to us, and it's time for us to run our race of faith. Now, here in verse 1, you may have noticed, God describes the Christian life as what kind of Olympic event? As a race. Let us run the race. So this morning's lesson is entitled The University of Marathon. The University of Marathon. In fact, The word marathon is not just a word, it's the title of a place in Greece. And according to tradition, a Greek runner named Pheidippides, it's a big name, Pheidippides ran from Marathon to Athens to bring the news of victory over Darius and the Persians. And after running 41 kilometers to bring his report, he supposedly collapsed and died. And that's where we get the word marathon from. He ran from Marathon to Athens to bring the good news over victory and war over the Persians. And he died. Now today, the marathon is still run in the same vein. It's an exhausting race, and the hardcore crazy runners run 251 kilometers in a series of 6 days. Now, as Christians, God has called us to run a race. But it's not a sprint. It's not a short burst of energy that starts one moment and ends after a few seconds, but it's a lifelong race. Our life in the Christian school of faith is likened to a marathon. So let's learn something about this race that we're all in this morning. There in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, your first blank is the word course. The course of the race. So what does God want us to know in chapter 12 and verse 1? Well, there in your notes, there's the verse, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, what's the context of this race? Well, Hebrews chapter 11. And simply put, running the race is simply living by faith. Now, practically, how do we run? What do we need to do with our legs? We need to put one foot in front of the other. Amen? We put one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. And in the Christian race, how do we run? Well, we take steps of faith. Amen? One step at a time. As we step forward in obedience to God's word by faith, we begin to run. And the more we step forward in faith, the faster we go. And I'm encouraged as a Christian, looking at the failures of my past, and I think they've set me back quite a bit in the Christian life. The good news is, the more we step forward in faith, we can make up those years. Amen. As you run forward in faith, you can make up for the disobedience. Because when we move forward in faith, we run. But when we disobey and when we don't live in faith, if we live in unbelief, then we stumble and fall. And what God wants us to do is run. How? By faith. By taking one step at a time. When God tells us to do something, when God wants us to take a step of faith, when we say, yes, Lord, not just yes, and we do it, amen, we commit to it, we're running in the Christian life. And that's the simple truth that God wants us to understand. That's the course of our lives as Christians. In order to become good runners, we need to live by faith. Now, athletes today, here's a question. How do they become good runners? Do they just sit on the sidelines watching others run? Yes or no? No, if that's all they did, then they wouldn't get anywhere. They wouldn't become good runners or good athletes. What do they need to do? They need to tie up those shoelaces, amen? And they need to get busy and start running themselves. And that's what we need to do also. Now, God gives us Hebrews chapter 11 to look at some runners that went before us, amen? And that's good. But we need to do both. We need to look at those who've gone before us, and it's time for us to run. It's time for us in our generation to run the Christian race. Now, all of these runners that we see on this banner, they finished their course in faith and they graduated with a good report, the Bible says. The Bible says all these finished with a good report. And we are reminded that as Christians, at the end of our lives, we're going to receive either a good report or a bad report, depending on how we run. Now, let me say this. We don't know when the finish line will come. The finish line is, in fact, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we hear that trump and the adrenaline rushes through us and suddenly we're up in the air, that's it. That's the finish line. We're done. Our life on this earth is over. The race is over. And when Christ comes, I'm sure you'll agree, We don't want to be found sitting on the sidelines, do we? We don't want to be found standing around. We don't want to be found walking. We want to be found faithful, running as Christians. So that's the course we've been called to run, a life of faith. That's just a little thought just to start off our lesson this morning. Running is simply taking steps of faith. What does God want you to do in your life this week? What steps of faith? As you say yes, let me encourage you, you're on the right track. Amen? You're running. You're moving forward. Let me encourage you to move forward this year. Now, Roman numeral number 2. Not only do we need a step forward in faith, we need to realize there are some things we have to put off. Now, here's some instruction for some Christian athletes this morning. Amen? What does the Bible say? We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're a wonderful example on how to run by faith. Let us lay aside then every, what's the next word?
Weight.
And the, say it? Sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run. So, in order to run the race, we need to put some things off. Have you ever watched the Olympics? Have you ever seen an athletic event where the runners were wearing gum boots and work clothing and overalls and a big broad-brimmed hat? Actually, in Cairns, you should wear one when you're running. But have you ever seen an athlete run in a race wearing all that gear? No. And hang on a second, it's not illegal. It's not against the rules to run in gum boots in the Olympics. If they wanted to, they could wear them. But why would they not wear heavy clothing, heavy work boots in a race? What's the obvious answer? It'll slow them down. Amen? It'll slow them down. And God says to us this morning, if you want to run, realize there are some things that will slow you down. And the first thing that God tells us about are weights. The next thing are sins. Weights are not sins, and sins are not weights. Weights are those things in our lives that are not necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but they won't help us to run. They won't help us to live by faith. See, in all of our lives, we have things in our lives that hold us back, that hinder us, that are like weights. You know, it's not wrong in the Olympics to wear gum boots, but they'll slow you down, you see? And just like in the Christian life, there are hindrances in our lives that are not necessarily wrong, but they won't help us in running the race, you know? Now, it's not a sin to work, amen? In fact, God says it's wrong if you don't work. If you're not busy working and being busy in the workplace God has put you in, and He wants us to be good, hard workers. Amen? Wants us to be a good testimony at work. But if we live for work, if our life is consumed by work so that we have no time for God, then that job is a weight. Amen? And we need to set God as a priority in our life so we can come to church on Sunday. Amen? We can come to church on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. Hey, we can even be available for soul-winning times. You see, a lack of priority is a weight. You know, if that job becomes all that we live for, then we're not living for God, we're living for our work. That's just one example. Entertainment, you know. If our life is consumed by entertainment, if all we hunger after is pleasure and just being entertained, you know, watching National Geographic documentaries, I don't believe they're sinful. You know, if you're looking at the beauty of God's creation. But if all you and I do is sit in front of the TV and say, well, there's nothing sinful about this program. And all we do is just sit in front of the box. Amen. We don't read our Bible. We don't go witnessing. We don't invite our neighbors over and say, hey, come over for dinner and share the gospel with them, because we're just lazy. We're sitting in front of the box all day. Well, then that habit is a weight. See, things that are not necessarily sinful can become a weight in our life that holds us back from running, from moving forward in the Christian life. And God says those things need to be put off, just like taking off those gum boots. Can you imagine once you take them off, how much better you and I will be able to run? How much freer we will be to live for God? All right, let's move on. Every weight, The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So now here we come to the sins. God says that sin will keep me from running. If I have sin in my life that I'm not willing to deal with, God says you need to deal with that first. Then you can run. What kind of sin? The sin which doth so easily beset us. What does that mean? God is simply saying, you know what that sin is. It's that sin that you struggle with, that you know, that God knows, that others perhaps don't know. It's been in your life for a while. You know what it is. And it's that sin that keeps you from moving forward in your Christian growth. What does God say? It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be laid off. That word to lay aside is means to cast away, to cast off, to take off. So we need to, in our Christian lives, to deal with our sins. And it's not, God isn't saying you need to be sinless. He's talking about specific besetting sins. You and I will only be sinless when we get to heaven. Remember, we looked at the word perfect a couple of lessons ago. The word perfect means to be mature. These heroes of the faith were not sinless, amen? They were not sinless. You and I know that. We'll look at that more this year. But they became perfect. They were mature in their faith. And what we need to do is to lay aside every weight and the sin. If you want to run the Christian race, you want to graduate with a good report, then we need to lay aside those sins. We know which ones they are. We struggle with them because we're not willing to lay them aside. That's the basic truth. Why do I struggle with that particular sin? Because I think in some way I need to hold on to it. Okay? I'll have less pleasure if I give it to God and let it go and confess and repent than if I held on to it. So I'm going to hold on to it. And let's see what happens. What happens? We're not running. We're weighed down. We're stuck. God says, confess. Amen? God says, repent. Lay aside. Cast it aside. Let God cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let Him pick us up and then run once again. Amen? The weights and the sins. So those are some hindrances. Only the Lord knows what they are in our lives. And we know. Hindrances to running. So let's run. Amen? Let's make some choices this year to run. To do well in the race of faith. Just keep that in mind this year as we press on. Now, Roman numeral number 3, look at verse 1. God reminds us that there are other runners. Notice what the Lord says. Does He say, and let me run or let you run? No, God says, let us run. So there are other runners. There in your notes, your third blank is the word other. If you miss any blanks, they're at the bottom of your page on the back. There are other runners. That's interesting. What does that tell us? That means in the school of faith, in the race that we're running in, we're not alone. Amen? And thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank the Lord He didn't just save you and I and set you somewhere in the world alone by ourselves, single, isolated, and called us to run the Christian race. No, He sets us in place. Amen? He sets us in a local New Testament church. He sets us among God's people, and we are called to run together. Now, there's a difference between the Olympic marathon and our race, amen? In the Olympics, you compete against one another. Now, in the Christian life, we're not competing against each other. In fact, we're running together as a team, if you will. We are like in a team relay. In fact, the ones that have gone before us, they've passed the baton to us. And now it's our turn to run. And we need to run together. Let us run the race. Just a simple thought about the race. You know, when you're running with others, that's an encouragement, isn't it? Now, Sister Deidre, you'd remember, because you went to school right next to our school in Canberra. You remember Mount Taylor right at the back? And did you guys ever have to run up that for cross country? So there's a fire trail going up a giant mountain behind our school. And that's where we used to run for cross country. Now, ours was a boys' school, so they didn't give us much slack. If they said run, you had to run. Amen? And as we went out the back of the school. It would stay flat for a while, and then you had to run up the hill, and that was really the testing time. Downhill was great. That was a lot of fun. But uphill was grueling. And, you know, everyone who didn't have a good attitude just wanted to give up. But what an encouragement it was when a teacher came alongside and said, "Hey, keep running." They gave you some encouragement. You know, they were running next to you. Maybe it was your friend. Maybe when you did something like that in school, cross country or athletics, having your friends training with you or running with you was an encouragement to keep going. Why? Because you're running with someone else. Amen? And in the Christian life, it's the same thing. God wants us to be an encouragement. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is, but, what's the next word? Exhorting one another. That means to build up. Amen? That means to encourage, to help others press on. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to be an encouragement. Amen? Let me encourage you to be an encouragement this year to someone else. How? By running the race of faith. Look, you know, the theme this year has, there's two sides to the coin, if you will. One side is we sit down and we say, "All right, I love this theme, this is great. Let's just see what they'll do by faith. And if that works for them, maybe I'll do the same. Maybe I'll step out when I see someone else step out." That's not what God has called us to do. He said, "The just, me, shall live by faith." I need to step out by faith. God wants you and I to be an encouragement. God wants you and I to be a challenge and a help to other Christians running the race. Isn't that true? So let me encourage you, take hold of this theme this year. Don't just sit there and say, "Well, let's just see what others will do." Amen? Building fund. Let's just see what others will give. Amen? Missions, faith promise missions. I'll wait until the fourth week. You can say amen. Let's just see what comes in first. Then I'll start praying about what God wants me to give. Amen? Rather than, "Lord, what would you have me to give?" Maybe the Lord would lay something on my heart, and that's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell anyone what to give, because that's between me and the Lord. Your giving is between you and the Lord. But here's just one issue of faith. We need to ask the Lord, how would you have me to step out by faith? And then be an example. Be an encourage them that meant that might help someone who's not really running right now and just needs some encouragement in their faith, and we can be a blessing to our young people. Amen? They're looking to the adults. Teenagers are looking at you and me. Remember, someone is watching your race. Our young people. You know, if we want them to run, as I'm sure you do as parents, if they're saved, you want them to run, you want them to do well, well, they're looking to us. Amen? They're looking to us. Be an encouragement. Now, before we go on, it won't take much longer, but let me say this, two things. When it comes to others, don't let those who are not running discourage you. Amen? Now, that's a serious one. Some have fallen out of the race. That's just the reality of the Christian life. If the Christian life is a race, some will drop out. And it's not pretty. It's not easy to watch when one of your teammates fails and falls and it is out of the race because of their sin and their disobedience. But God doesn't call us to look unto them, amen? God says in verse 2, looking unto, say it,
Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The longer you live as a Christian, the more you'll see some fall. Again and again. That's the reality of the Christian life. But we need to not look to them. We need to press forward. Some have dropped out of the ministry or serving the Lord because they've become so discouraged about those who have dropped out of the race. Just a thought. We're running with others. There will be casualties. Amen? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's run together. Let's not be the next casualty. Let's be the next encourager. And by the way, run with the right crowd. That's the second thought before we move on. Run with the right crowd. You can't run if you're not running with the right crowd. You know, we used to, you know, as parents, you might say that as as parents and say, oh, look, that boy's running with the wrong group. Amen? That girl's running with the wrong crowd. We say that even today, don't we? Just because someone's running doesn't mean they're running well. Maybe they're running with the wrong group. So we need to make sure we're running by faith with the right group. Amen. With those who are an encouragement to us. We need to follow them. Don't run off with those who aren't doing anything for the grace of God. Amen? Those who are just foolish, because at the end of their Christian lives, listen to me, they will have to stand before God, and so will you. Now, I never understood this point even more so when I was at school, until I was at school and I realized what happened at the end of our schooling race. I wasn't saved, but I've shared this with you before. At the end of school, and I'm sure it was God just turning the light on to something that's a reality even in the Christian life, that at the end, each of us are accountable. Now, in school, I like to hang around with the cool kids, all right? I was in the group with those kids and those young men who really didn't care much about studying, and they made fun of the nerds, if you will, if I can use that word. That's what we called them, nerds who put the effort in and studied, made fun of them, and while we just slacked off. And then I got to about year 10 and I realized, in a couple of years I'll be graduating, what is my result going to be? If I don't have any kind of result that I need, I won't be able to study in the area that I want to. In fact, I'm going to be limited, and I won't be able to go back and change that. Year 12's over, it's finished. Done. You can't go back. That's the end. And in my mind, as an unsaved person, that would set the course for the rest of my life. And that's the reality. Our decisions have consequences. And so, thank the Lord, I put in a bit of effort in those last 2 years and I graduated with a score that was enough to get me into graphic design, which is what I wanted to do, what I was good in. But then I saw the tragedy on that day when everyone received their report. There were these so-called nerds with a great smile on their face. They had run with the right crowd, amen? They had stuck to their diligence and studied and put in the effort, and now they could do what they wanted to do. They could get into medicine if they wanted, or they can get into whatever they wanted to do. But here was this crowd on the left that had made fun of those who studied, that had made fun of doing right and running well and mocking others, and then they looked at their sheet of paper and realized, oh no, it's too late. It was amazing. Out on the lawn in front of the school, suddenly the tables were turned. I'd never forget that day. I went home and told my little brother, I said, Thomas, you won't believe what I saw. I said, look what I've learned. What a fool I was to make fun of these guys I should have been friends with. And I was running with the wrong crowd. Now, that's just something I picked up in life. In the Christian life, it's the same. Now, you can run with the wrong crowd, amen? You can just put the Christian life on the side and just run with those who are worldly, carnal, maybe not even saved. But guess what? One day we're going to stand alone before Jesus Christ. And we will receive the report for our lives. So let's run with the right crowd, amen? I think that's enough said. We're running with others, but who are you running with? Amen? Wow. Other runners. Okay, lastly, let's run the distance. Running the distance. Running the distance. The University of Marathon. It is a long distance race. Now, the Greek word for so your blank is the word distance. The Greek word for race in Hebrews chapter 2, 12 and verse 1, listen carefully. The Greek word for race is the word agon. Now, who can guess what English word we get from the Greek word agon? Say it louder.
Agony.
Agony. That's right. That's the marathon we have been called to run. You see, the Christian life is a race. We are to run. But the word agon doesn't mean a sprint, a short run. It is a long marathon. It is a long, grueling, painful, difficult race. It is an agony to run. Now, have you ever watched runners in a marathon before? As they're nearing the finish line, their faces, in the race, before they near the finish line, their faces don't look too happy, do they? No, they're in agony, all right? They're struggling, they're sweating, amen? But they keep pressing on. Why do they keep going? Sometimes we watch those things and go, why would you even put yourself through that? Well, they have a goal, don't they? To reach the finish line, to do well. And what is our goal in the Christian life? To please the Lord Jesus Christ. And the difference between running an Olympic marathon and our race is that we have a goal. We have a purpose, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ that will help us to push through those trials. You might say this morning, Pastor, I don't know if I want to go through agony. That doesn't sound good. Difficulties. Remember, as we look unto Jesus, we can go through those trials with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God. He will help us through those trials. He will get us through those difficulties. God is at work in our life to strengthen us, to help us to run better. We will be exhausted. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to quit. You're ready to give up. You're discouraged. Have a look what verse 1 says. Let us run the race with, say it, patience. Let us run with patience. The word patience means endurance. It also means waiting. Waiting. What does that mean in our race? Waiting. Well, the Bible tells us in Isaiah, chapter number 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We don't have the strength to run the Christian race. We don't. It's not like the Olympic marathon in that sense. We don't have the strength. We don't have the energy. How do we run? We run by faith. How do we do that? By looking unto Jesus. By claiming the promises of His Word. Amen? By claiming the promises of His power. By claiming the promises of His presence in our life. He is with us to strengthen us. And how do we wait on the Lord? Well, we trust in Him. That when He brings a trial and when we're in agony, He has meant this for a reason. And He's with us to strengthen us. Well, what's the point? Don't give up. Amen? Keep running the race that is set before you. We're all running together, but we're all in essence in our own on our own path, if you will. We all have different families. We all have different places of work. We all have different gifts and abilities. Run the race that is set before us. And we need to press on. We need to understand that God tailor makes my trials to fit me. God tailor makes your trials to fit you. And as we face them, we don't face them alone. We face them with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the next lesson, we'll look at what it means to look unto Jesus. But the point is, when you're out of breath, amen, stop running in your own strength. Amen. Look unto Jesus. Look to the Lord. And we can endure those trials, we can endure those struggles only through faith in Jesus Christ. Only knowing that He works all things together for good. Amen? That's the only way we can get through trials. Claiming His promises. Keep running. Keep running. How do we run? By taking steps of faith. How do we run? By casting aside those weights and sins. Amen? How do we run? By being an encouragement to others. How do we run? We need to run the distance. Endure. Endure. Sometimes we just need to endure. And that doesn't mean gritting your teeth and just hanging on for dear life for the rapture. No, to endure means to strengthen ourselves in Christ. There's a difference. Living by self is you and I trying to do things in our own strength. Living by faith is believing in God. Not me doing it, God doing it. You and I trusting in Him. We'll learn more about these lessons. So I hope this little lesson has given you a picture of how we move forward in God's school of faith. We run. Amen? And let's keep running together. Let's run to the finish line. Now, sometimes God changes our direction. Okay? Doesn't mean we've stopped running. Let me just slip that in the end. Don't be discouraged when God takes someone's race on a different direction. Brother David Bowe, I was discouraged when he had to go home. I really was. He was such a blessing and a helper. But as a pastor, I needed to realize, hey, God has a race for Brother David to run, amen? And it's not here in Cairns. It's in Vietnam, it's in Cambodia, and he's training to become a missionary. He couldn't do that the same way here. As much as we wanted to send him to SBBC to train in Bible college and send him out, God had a different plan. But we need to be careful not to be discouraged when God says, all right, they're going to run over there. They haven't stopped running. They're still running the race. They're still living by faith, but don't be discouraged. Amen? When the Lord, that's just an extra thought. Don't be discouraged. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And let's keep running.